Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, entitled Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home. Text number 7. Titikshur Yatavak Danta Udvareta Jitanila Airirada Ishu Krishnam Acharat Tapa Uttamam Titikshur Yatavak Danta Urvareta Jitanila Aire Radha Ishu Krishnam Acharat Tapa Uttamam Tiktikshur Yatavakdanta Urvareta Jitanila Aire Radha Ishu Krishnam Acharat Tapa Uttamam Titikshur Yatavakdanta Urvareta Jitanila Aire Radha Ishu Krishnam Acharat Tapa Uttamam energies. To take show, tolerating, yata, controlling, vak, words, danta, controlling the senses, udvareta, without discharge of semen, jitta anila, controlling the life air. Aire Radha Ishu, simply desiring Krishnam, Lord Krishna. Acharat, practice. Tapa, austerities. Uttamam, the best. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Prithu underwent all these severe austerities in order to control his words and his senses, to refrain from discharging his semen, and to control the life air within his body. All this he did for the satisfaction of Krishna. He had no other purpose. Purport. In Kali Yuga, the following is recommended. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. Brihad Naradiya Purana. In order to be recognized by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should chant the holy name of the Lord continuously, 24 hours a day. Unfortunate persons who cannot accept this formula prefer to execute some type of pseudo-meditation without accepting the other processes of austerity. The fact is, however, that one must accept either the severe method of austerity described above to become purified, or take to the process of devotional service recommended for pleasing the Supreme Lord Krishna. The person who is Krishna conscious is most intelligent, because in Kali Yuga it is not at all possible to undergo such severe austerities. We need only follow great personalities like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his Shikshastakam, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the holy names of Lord Krishna, which from the very beginning purify the heart and immediately liberate one. Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. If the real purpose of all yoga is to please Lord Krishna, then this simple bhakti yoga system recommended for this age is sufficient. It is necessary, however, to engage constantly in the service of the Lord. Although Prithu Maharaj executed his austerities long before the appearance of Lord Krishna on this planet, his purpose was still to please Krishna. There are many fools who claim that worship of Krishna began only about 5,000 years ago after the appearance of Lord Krishna in India. But this is not a fact. Prithu Maharaj worshipped Krishna millions of years ago, for Prithu happened to be a descendant of the family of Maharaj Dhruva, who reigned for 36,000 years during the Satya Yuga. Unless his total lifespan was 100,000 years, how could Dhruva Maharaj reign over the world for 36,000 years? The point is that Krishna worship existed at the beginning of creation and has continued to exist throughout Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga, and now it is continuing in Kali Yuga. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna appears not only in this millennium of Brahma's life, but in every millennium. Therefore, worship of Krishna is conducted in all millenniums. It is not that Krishna worship began only when Krishna appeared on this planet 5,000 years ago. This is a foolish conclusion that is not substantiated by Vedic literature. Also of significance in this verse are the words Ari Radayishu Krishnam Acharit Tapa Uttamam. Maharaj Prithu underwent severe types of austerities for the express purpose of worshiping Krishna. Krishna is so kind, especially in this age, that he appears in the transcendental vibration of his holy name. As is said in the Narada Pancharatra, Aradito yadi haris tapasa tatakim. If Krishna is worshipped, if he is the goal of advancement, there is no need for one to execute severe types of tapasya, because one has already reached his destination. If, after executing all types of tapasya, one cannot reach Krishna, all his tapasya has no value. For without Krishna, all austerity is simply wasted labor. Shrama eva hi kevalam. We should therefore not be discouraged just because we cannot go to the forest and practice severe austerities. Our life is so short that we must strictly adhere to the principles laid down by the Vaishnava Acharyas and peacefully execute Krishna consciousness. There is no need to become despondent. Narottam Das Thakur recommends, Anandi Balahari Bhaja Vrindavan Sri Guru Vaishnava Padi Maja Yaman. For a transcendental, blissful life, chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Come, worship the holy place of Vrindavan, and always engage in the service of the Lord, of the spiritual master, and of the Vaishnavas. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore very safe and easy. We have only to execute the order of the Lord and fully surrender unto him. We have only to execute the order of the spiritual master, preach Krishna consciousness, and follow in the path of the Vaishnavas. The spiritual master represents both Lord Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Therefore, by following the instruction of the spiritual master and by chanting Hare Krishna, everything will be all right. Srila Prabhupada's purport ki jaya. Om agyana timurandasya gyananjana shalakaya chaksur unmilitan yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Vanchakaupa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bayevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. Translation again. Maharaj Prithu underwent all these severe austerities in order to control his words and his senses, to refrain from discharging his semen, and to control the life air within his body. All this he did for the satisfaction of Krishna. He had no other purpose. So we've been hearing of Maharaj Prithu, how he ruled the world for some time, and then it came time to him for him to retire to the forest. He entered the vanaprastha stage of life, entered into the forest in preparation for giving up his body. In the purport here, Srila Prabhupada remarks how in this age we have a short life. We don't have long life as Prithu Maharaj had, or Dhruva Maharaj also, who's mentioned. We have a short life, so we have to make the best use of it. When we hear about Prithu Maharaj and his austerities, we were hearing yesterday especially how he would surround himself by fires and then submerge himself up to the neck in icy cold water. These kind of austerities are certainly purifying to some extent, but Srila Prabhupada reminds us, he often quotes this verse from the Narada Pancharatra. It's quoted here in the purport. Aradito yadi haris tapasa tatakim. And then the next line is, Naradito yadi haris tapasa tatakim. The meaning is very important. That the meaning is, what is the good of all of your austerities and penances and tapasya if you are not Krishna conscious? And at the same time, if you are Krishna conscious, then there is no need of all these penances and austerities and tapasyas. The goal is Krishna consciousness, to be conscious of Krishna. As it is described here in this verse, Maharaj Prithu did everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. It's not what we do so much, but it is how we do it, the consciousness in which we do it. Krishna does not see any difference between who is sweeping the temple floor and who's offering the aarti. But he sees the difference in consciousness. If one is doing it in the mood as a sincere service for the pleasure of the Lord, that is the important qualification. Otherwise, all of these penances and austerities have no meaning. We see the example of Dhruva Maharaj. He's mentioned in the purport that he had ruled the world for 36,000 years. So as a young boy, we know Dhruva Maharaj had gone to the forest. He was eager to get a kingdom. And when he went to the forest, then he engaged in penances and austerities. He was doing great tapasya. But after all of that, when the Lord appeared to him, then Dhruva Maharaj, the nice verse is given in Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. Kacham vininam api divyaratnam swanim kritartosmi varam nayachi. Kacham, broken glass. Dhruva Maharaj said, I came to the forest looking to get an opulent kingdom. That is just like broken glass. But instead, divyaratnam, I have been given this beautiful jewel. What was that jewel? The Lord had appeared to him. He had become purified. The Lord has come. And then he says, Swanim kritartosmi varam nayachi. Swamin kritarto, I'm fully satisfied. Varam nayachi. Varam, benediction. Vacham nayachi. I do not want any benediction. This is purification. No more material desire. Devotional service must be pure, without desire. It must be simply for the satisfaction of Krishna. That is pure desire. We see this kind of consciousness. Another example is given. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Sri Rangam, he would go every day to have darshan of the Lord. So he noticed that there's one Brahman regularly reciting Bhagavad Gita. As he is trying to read Bhagavad Gita, he's shedding tears. Mahaprabhu notices he's trying to read Bhagavad Gita. He's not reading it well. And other brahmanas are laughing at him. And Mahaprabhu comes and inquires from the brahman, "What are you doing, my dear brahman?" He said, "My spiritual master requested me every day I should recite Bhagavad Gita. But I am not educated, so I cannot read well." "Oh, that is very nice," says Mahaprabhu. "You're following the order of your spiritual master. But why are you crying?" "Because," he said, the Brahman replies, "when I look, when I think of Lord Krishna, how he has become the chariot driver of his devotee Arjuna," he said, "then this brings tears to my eyes. And I think, how merciful is the Lord to his devotee." So when Mahaprabhu heard these words from the Brahman, then he embraced him and he congratulated him. "You are the real reader of the Bhagavad Gita, because you have understood the nature of the Lord and his loving relationship for the devotee." The brahmana had no education, not well qualified to read Bhagavad Gita, but he had the proper mood for appreciating Krishna. He understood the Lord's loving relationship with his devotees. This is Krishna consciousness. When we see Krishna, not only within, but without also, when we see Krishna everywhere, we're trying to cultivate this consciousness. Just like Prithu Maharaj, doing everything for the satisfaction of Lord Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. We do not want anything in return. We just simply want devotional service. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati used to call some people his Dandabhats devotees. They would always come and offer their Dandavats, give obeisances to the Lord. He would call them Dandavats Bhaktas. That's very nice. You give obeisances. But more important was to hear. If you just simply come and give obeisances but do not hear, then what is the good? Prabhupada describes, he liked to hear his spiritual master. His spiritual master appreciated our founder Acharya, because he was not simply a Dandavats man. He was not simply one bowing to his guru, but he had a genuine desire to hear. That is more important. That is the key to Krishna consciousness. So we want to understand all of these rituals and practices which we do. They may be very nice. Okay, fasting. You want this, but the purpose of fasting, it is not simply to get skinny. Right? Oh. The purpose of fasting is also to satisfy Krishna. Just like Ekadasi is... Yes, we had a Ekadasi the day before. Okay, we were fasting. We observe Ekadasi for the pleasure of Krishna. Everything we do, we have to have that consciousness that we want to satisfy Lord Krishna. Without satisfying Krishna, then it is all Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. Prabhupada quotes this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Useless labor. Duties executed by all men are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme. So just simply being a very strict brahmachari or a very dutiful grihastha, or a very renowned sannyasi, that is not the goal. That is simply varnashram. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with Ramananda Rai on the banks of the Godavari, Ramananda Rai was requested by Mahaprabhu, give me some verses from the scripture about the goal of life. At that time, Ramananda Rai began. Varnashram acharapara, by executing duties of varnashram, then this is how we can satisfy Lord Vishnu. But Mahaprabhu said, that is external. Go further. Go on. Of course, then Ramananda Rai went on to describe Krishnarpanam, and then Swadharma Tyag, then Jnanamishra Bhakti, and then finally he came to the verse which satisfied Mahaprabhu. Everything Ramananda Rai was suggesting, Mahaprabhu would say, go further, go further, go on. And then he came to the verse. Gyane praya samudapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya bhartam stane stita shruti gatam tanvan manobir ye prayaso jita jitopi asita istrilokyam. And Mahaprabhu said, yes, this is it. Now let us go on from this, explore this. Because Ramananda Rai had stated the verse which was describing that our material position is not important. Stay in your position. What is the important activity that we should hear about Krishna consciousness? In the association of devotees. By that activity, then we can conquer Krishna, who is achyuta, who is ajita, unconquerable. So this is the power of hearing, very important for us. Cultivate this hearing process, being eager to hear. We should have that enthusiasm. That is a sign that we want to please Krishna. We're not forced to come and hear. We're not forced to dance in the kirtan. We do all of these things spontaneously. That is a sign that we are in good Krishna consciousness. That we're progressing. Our Krishna consciousness is alive. So we want to appreciate the importance of everything we do. That the goal is to satisfy Krishna. How can we satisfy Krishna? We're given the simple formula simply by chanting His holy name. Very simple. Chanting the holy name of the Lord with care and attention. Prabhupada tells us, in this age, we cannot do all these austerities like Prithu Maharaj. We have no ability to practice all of that kind of renunciation which he did. Sometimes people do try. This is the problem. You get people, we heard yesterday, Janani Vas Prabhu was reading from Prabhupada's lecture on a similar verse, and Prabhupada was describing how people all want to be like the Goswamis. How's it going? The Goswami has to come? Okay. Giving the Goswamis gave up their position. They were living in aristocratic society, enjoying great wealth and opulence, and they gave it all up to go to Vrindavan, taking loincloths, accepting the dress of mendicants, and living under a different tree every night. And forgetting also to eat. So people want to also go in that, they have that idea that I will follow the Goswamis. I will be like Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath. I will also go to Vrindavan and live as a Babaji and do Madhukari, live off the Brajbasis. But if within the mind there is only the desire for sense gratification, there is only thoughts of material pleasure, then it is all useless. You do not make advancement simply by changing the dress or simply by going to live in the holy place. That is not the only qualification. We have to be Krishna conscious. We have to want to please Krishna. Prabhupada's own spiritual master had written his famous poetry, Tumi Kishera Vaishnava Pratishtana Gare Nirjanera Gare Tava Harinam Kevala Kaita. What kind of Vaishnava are you? Simply for the sake of adoration and distinction, that you go to some secluded place and sit and chant the holy name? That is all meaningless if there is no Krishna consciousness. So the goal, the purpose of everything is to satisfy Krishna. That we have to see Krishna. We have to develop that consciousness of seeing Krishna everywhere, in everything, not only within, but out also. That is Krishna consciousness. Of course, that is perfection. That is the goal. How do we get there? We have to chant the holy name. Prabhupada also tells us we have to constantly engage in devotional service. That is mentioned here in this purport. Constant engagement in devotional service. Devotional service is not some just morning program and then, oh, I'm glad that's over with, and then get under the pillows again, under the blankets. No. Krishna consciousness means minimizing our eating and sleeping. Prabhupada told us, he said, while he was a young man, he gave up mating and defending. Now, in my old age, he said, I have also given up eating and sleeping. That is Krishna consciousness, conquering over the demands of the body by fully engaging in devotional service. Ahaitaki apratihata yayatma supratita. Devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. Constant engagement. We have to keep ourselves busy. Prabhupada has given us so many engagements to keep ourselves occupied. He had so many things for us to do. Although he wanted us to satisfy Krishna, he also was very practical. He wanted to know, how many books have you distributed? How many new devotees have you made? How many properties have you acquired? He did not want us to just simply sit down idly chanting, because he knew that we cannot do that. We cannot imitate Haridas Thakur any more than we can imitate Prithu Maharaj. But Prabhupada gave us a lot of service to do. Preaching worldwide, going everywhere without distinction, even going into countries where Krishna consciousness is not recognized, where it's illegal. But Prabhupada wanted us to go and preach. And Prabhupada himself showed us the example. He went to Russia, he made the first devotee, he preached there, and then he also sent us other countries too. Prabhupada gave us so many things to do. If Prabhupada was here today, he would have so many more things for us to be doing. And you say, why is this not done? In the purport, Prabhupada also writes that how the spiritual master's instructions are the instructions of Krishna and all the Vaishnavas. So, pure devotee means one who follows all the instructions of the spiritual master. Not just only four principles and chant 16 rounds. There's a lot more besides that. That is the minimum, to chant 16 rounds and follow four principles. But we see also sometimes a lot of people have trouble even to do that. But we should understand what is Prabhupada's desire. Now the temple is coming up, the temple of the Vedic planetarium. That is one phase of Prabhupada's desire. That is only one. There are so many. Prabhupada gave us so many instructions. He wanted Srimad Bhagavatam sets in every home. He wanted the high court judges should have tilak, wear tilak. So many things to be done. We never have a chance to sit back and think, now Prabhupada is pleased. There's so much still to be done. It's all waiting for us. We have to study Prabhupada's books, read Prabhupada's... We're so fortunate, devotees have taken the trouble to transcribe Prabhupada's lectures, conversations. And if we study these conversations and lectures, then we understand more of Prabhupada's mood, Prabhupada's mission. That is something, of course, we're trying to bring out in the Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav. We want to people, devotees will appreciate from Prabhupada's writing more of his mood and mission. And we should not think that, oh, this is for somebody else, that this is not for me. But we should take all of these instructions, that we can also take up these different orders and instructions. Just like one devotee, Prabhupada had some instructions about preaching to the scientists and preaching to scholars. And then a devotee in America, Garuda Prabhu, you know, he didn't get directly the instruction from Prabhupada, but he took the instruction for himself. And he took up that work, and he's taking up that work, preaching to scholars and scientists, and giving them Krishna consciousness. So, as devotees, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada Nugas, we want to keep this mood of trying to satisfy Krishna. And we can be sure, if we satisfy Srila Prabhupada, who is everyone's spiritual master, Prabhupada is a instructing spiritual master for everyone in the Krishna consciousness movement. And as our founder Acharya, if we can satisfy him, then that is then it is guaranteed that Krishna is also pleased. We, of course, to satisfy the spiritual master, we have to understand his instructions. We have to know exactly what he wants and how to please him. We have to also know our own ability, our own limitations. How much can we do? Prabhupada therefore formed a society, that it is not a question of just some individual going out and trying to please Prabhupada, but we work as a society. We are part of a family, a great family, with many family members, and by working together in a cooperative mood, then we can achieve wonderful things for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. So this is very important for us in preaching Krishna consciousness, that if we cannot cooperate nicely with each other, if we simply argue and quarrel, then we are allowing the age of Kali to enter into our midst, and everything is ruined. But when we cooperate together, then great things can be done. Just like in the beginning of the Krishna consciousness movement, I was hearing Mahatma Prabhu speak the other day, and he was reminding me about the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement. How we were all living together, and the householders were also living together. Maybe they had their one room for themselves. But there was a common spirit. There was a great strength of being united and working together and cooperating for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. And by pleasing Srila Prabhupada, then we knew we could please Krishna. Over the years, the Krishna consciousness movement has changed a lot. Instead of being ashram-based, our movement is now much more congregational-based. I was talking to the devotees from Pune. They had come as a yatra here, and I was asked to give them an address. So I was telling them the wonders of Mayapur, how wonderful it is that when you come to Mayapur, you go to Mangal Aarti, there are so many devotees chanting and dancing. But I know not every temple is like that. There are some temples, Mangal Aarti, nobody's there. Now the devotees from Pune, they laughed because they're from Pune, and Pune is a very enthusiastic yatra. And they have a lot of people coming for Mangal Aarti. But there is a lot of temples where the devotees are not so enthused, not so fired up. And you go to Mangal Aarti, and if somebody else is there, it's a shock. I won't mention the temples, but there are some temples like that. You know. And also, there are many places where we don't have temples, and we have a lot of devotees. You know, there's two sides to it. There's places where you've got temples and nobody comes, and there are places where there are no temples, but the devotees wake up early and they do their own aarti and sing the morning songs all on their own in their home. So it's just amazing. You know how our Krishna consciousness movement has expanded. Last night I was giving class on the internet to the devotees in China. And I was telling some other devotees how in China we often have, every night we have a program on the internet. And, you know, 60 to 90 different computers are there. And maybe at each computer there'll be several people. Not everyone has a computer, but they'll come to somebody's home and they'll sit and listen. And we have kirtans also on the internet. Because they don't have temples, so when I go and try to have kirtan with them, you know, they can't sing. They've never had kirtan hardly. They don't get regular kirtan. So I said, we have to start doing kirtan on the internet. So every day, every night, the devotees go online and they have kirtan. There's a couple of devotees in Russia, one of them speaks Chinese, and one of them's good in kirtan. So he leads the kirtan, and all the devotees in China, they respond. Yeah. You know, that is enthusiasm. When you're, you know, when we come to Mayapur, you know, there's kirtan, often we don't even bother to go, you know. Because, oh, it's kirtan, you know. Oh, they're doing Harinam kirtan, you know. There's so many other things going on, so many, you know, we think. But when you don't get kirtan, and when you're away from it, then you can really appreciate it. So this kind of eagerness is required. If we don't have that enthusiasm, then how will we ever satisfy Krishna? Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita, six things favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness, and the very first thing, utsahan, that enthusiasm, that is the most important thing. And that is what our greatest qualification can be. We're not very renounced, we're not very scholarly, we're not very expert in many things. But Prabhupada saw we had that enthusiasm that whatever he told us to do, we would do it. Prabhupada sent Garga Muni to Pakistan to preach Krishna consciousness. He sent Burijan to China. He sent Bali Mardan to Australia. They didn't know anybody. And they had no money, and there weren't any books. But they went, and they did things. Because they had that enthusiasm. They were convinced about Prabhupada, and they wanted to satisfy Prabhupada. We should keep that same enthusiasm, that desire to please Krishna and to satisfy Prabhupada. Then our Krishna consciousness is in a healthy condition. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, you're very kind. Thank you. Are there any questions? Any comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for your class. The history of our Sampradaya, it seems that every few generations a particularly empowered personality appears to give everything a big push, so to speak. Is this something that we could expect in the future of ISKCON, or are we expecting that members, present members, are coming up to that stage to be spiritually influential?
Well, I would think certainly we could expect these things in the future. It may even happen now. You really don't know. We have to see what is Krishna's plan. Krishna can arrange these things. It may be some particular person who is prominent. It may take some time. I had heard Prabhupada said it may take 3 generations before we get powerful devotees to take birth in our Krishna consciousness movement. But sometimes, it may be after the person departs that his contribution is actually noticed. When they're still here on the planet, they may not be so much regarded, considered so important. But after they depart, then we may appreciate more what they've done, their writings, their efforts. We see that while Prabhupada was on the planet, he was not so much recognized or appreciated. While Prabhupada was here, he had 5,000 disciples. We were all young people, Nobody was really famous or prominent. And Prabhupada was, people did not know if what Prabhupada had done would be maintained. He did not know if his followers would succeed in maintaining and continuing to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. So it depends on how we ourselves go on. Can we make the right, the nice, proper arrangements for the Krishna consciousness movement to continue to expand? It's not necessary that everything has to fall apart and then somebody has to come and then re-establish everything. It could just be that somebody comes who's particularly prominent and particularly successful in presenting Krishna consciousness to that to the society at that particular time. You know, we see in different places, different devotees, different parts of the world are very successful. Some places are certainly easier to preach than others. And some places are, we may think it is easier to preach, but it's really not. You know, we may think, oh, it's easy to preach in India, everyone's devotee. But when we're in India and you try to preach to people, you know, they'll say, oh, we know all this. We've heard all this before. You know, it is actually not such an easy thing to preach here in India. Yeah. To actually make people Krishna conscious and get them to fully take up the Krishna consciousness movement. It is not an easy thing. So Krishna Shakti Vininahi Tara Pravartan. One who is empowered by Krishna. If Krishna wants to empower someone, then certainly we can see how Krishna consciousness can expand. Generally the table of acharyas are the prominent acharyas. They're the ones who've made significant contributions. We see like Baladeva Vidyabhusan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, by their writings, particularly their commentaries. Rupa and Sanatan were not preaching, but they were writing. Gaurakishore Das Babaji is there. He had one disciple. So it's not a question of how many disciples we have, but it's a contribution. Gaurakishore Das Babaji had one disciple, but that one disciple preached Krishna consciousness so extensively and had thousands of disciples. So we do not know what is Krishna's plan for this, the future of the Krishna consciousness movement. Yes, Vasudev Prabhu, you have a comment.
Hare Krishna. Along the same lines, we see the trend in the world for the last few decades as very much being away from religious state, religious government, and even the couple of centuries ago, there was a clear division made between state and church, at least in the West. But certainly India has followed that very much, and other countries more and more follow that. So it is hard to see that before a very, very long time, this trend be reversed to the extent that high court judges will be wearing tilak. I'm not saying this is not going to happen. It is going to happen. But by the look of things, it's going to take a few centuries maybe, or a very long time, because we will need the backing of governments for that to happen. It cannot happen in any other way. Could you please comment?
Well, it doesn't have to take a few centuries. It just has to take some enthusiastic preaching. You have to go and make some high court judges devotees.
No, I don't think so. It's not going to go through the high court judges are just put in place by governments.
But we can go and preach to them. Who's ever put in place? We go and preach to them, make them a devotee. Yeah, go on. It just takes our... If we are convinced, then we can convince others. Why not? Yeah. There are some judges who have tilak. I've seen in South India, there were some from the... There's Sri Vaishnavas. Sri Vaishnavas, you see them with the tilak. Why not Gaudiya Vaishnavas also? They can also be... We have our devotees who are lawyers. They can, in the future, they can also become high court judges. And then they can also wear the tilak.
Yeah, in India perhaps, but this would never be allowed.
No, why not? Why not? There's in England, there's one man I was reading back to Godhead. He's a doctor. He wears tilak and he meets all his patients. He has tilak on. No problem.
Private practice.
Huh?
Private practice.
Private practice, yeah. But why not also, as people become more accustomed to seeing us with tilak and respecting Hare Krishna movement, then will not be any problem. We just have to be, we have to be convinced. By our own behavior, by our own actions, we can inspire others also, and it can happen. But if you're thinking a few hundreds, a few centuries, then it will never happen. The people were thinking, how will the holy name spread to every town and village? They thought, oh, it is just dream. We don't think it can ever happen. But Prabhupada was convinced. Prabhupada went and he showed how it was possible. So certainly it's possible.
I remember just when I joined in the late 70s, the devotees were thinking that we were going to take over the world within a couple, 3 years, or maybe at most a decade. So there is also this tendency. And maybe it's not a bad thing for us to have that conviction, but at the same time, we're going to need to acquire some amount of realism in order to make this happen in the real world.
Yeah, but don't limit yourself. You want to say something, Nitai Prasad?
Yeah? Maharaj, I know personally in Calcutta High Court, there is one of our ISKCON follower, our godbrother, he goes with Thila, but when he goes in front of judge, main justice, say, according to Indian law, he cannot put Thila. Otherwise, he goes everywhere with Thila. He is a very front line in High Court. Another one lady in Midnapur district court, he goes with tilak. He is follower.
And she keeps her tilak.
She goes everywhere with tilak.
Good.
Even in the court also.
So we're seeing it happen. Even now. We just have to keep preaching.
Didn't Srila Prabhupada say that the movement could have quite a considerable influence on the entire world within a very short period, like 18 days, or isn't there some?
Well, he said, just like as Krishna gave the whole world to the Pandavas in the course of the Kurukshetra war, it took 18 days to give them the whole world. So he said, Krishna can give you the whole world. Are you ready to take it? Are you ready to run the world? According to our qualification, he can give you. So we have to become qualified. Yes. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam.